right, everybody. Excuse me already. 2022, not much has changed. Welcome to Fresh Takes. Paul Russo across from me, as always, the man, the myth, legend himself, Nick Felice. Nick, how you doing? How you feeling? I know you're cold, but
happy
you know.
New Year, everybody. It's a new year of the Fresh Takes podcast, year number four, once we get to this June.
True, but, yeah.
You know, it's going to be a good one. I always feel like when January comes around, it feels like it's the new start of the sports season.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, there's sports that are in progress still, but I don't know. It just feels like, just looking at Paul's hat, making me think of golf.
I am anxiously awaiting the decent weather.
At least golf, you know, is right on the right page. NASCAR is pretty close, but, you know, golf. Yeah, technically the golf season does start, you know, after the one season ends, the FedEx Cup playoffs. But in my opinion, golf always starts this weekend, and the Tournament of Champions is this weekend. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Phil Mickelson there for like the first time in 20 years.
Yeah. So, Nick, what we got on tap today?
I don't know, Paul.
That's a lie, you know. He's a liar, folks. NFL Week 7. Men. NFL Week 17, where we feature the first ever Week 18 previews.
Yeah.
College football playoff. We'll discuss the game ahead in the championship, plus the two semifinal bowl games.
Even though
they weren't great. we'll discuss the NHL and NBA. We haven't done either of those in a while, but we'll touch base on those. A lot of interesting things happening there, obviously. I mean, obviously, not just the NHL and NBA have been affected by COVID and the Omicron virus. Obviously, college football has, especially NFL, you've seen it. College basketball as well. But the main two that have been affected, or at least on the mainstream side of things, have been the NHL, have been the NBA. So we'll touch on stuff going on there. It's been a while since we've touched base on the two winter sports leagues. So.
I just got to ask you, since this is not on the schedule today, Syracuse, big game tomorrow at Miami.
Yeah.
Miami been surprising. Haven't really played anybody, but.
I mean, Larinaga, you know, has always been.
Looked like Jim Bam?
Well, yes, but Larinaga always is. He probably doesn't get enough credit that he does deserve from a coaching side of things. You know, obviously, I got introduced to him, as probably most of the people around here, our generation, really even the generation before, as being the Providence head coach, most notably speaking anyway. So, he has won an ACC title with Miami. Really odd saying that they're the sport that does have the ACC title out of the main two and not the football team. But... different discussion. But, yeah, I mean, Larinaga, he always has a very – they may not be tremendously good. I mean, to look at the past couple of years. And it's – especially last year's tough. You just have to really take everything at face value. But, look, they're always a good fundamental teams that he's coached. They're not going to – you know, they're not going to do anything fancy. I mean, they will play – gritty basketball for the most part, and they're always good college basketball players that he's coached, so should be an interesting one. It's tough. I mean, Syracuse is I feel like we've been saying this now the past I don't know how many years in a row, where it's they're on the worst path of a start since, you know, Boeheim was there as a grad assistant or whatever. Look, I think it just is what it is at this point with Boeheim and whatever, and you know, I don't want to get into that portion of it too bad, but or too deep. I think that's probably might be its own podcast in and of itself. But look, I mean Boeheim has shown glimpses of willing to change here, especially this season. I mean, I don't think the season's lost yet, but this is a very pivotal game tomorrow night. It just is.
That's the team you recruited. That's the team you get. That's all I'll say. Well, Notre Dame has Notre Dame hosts North Carolina tomorrow as well.
I have a hard time coming at you or trying to do anything with you, because if I mention Mike Bray is not as good as you think, it turns into a spear chucking contest. So
Mike Bray is the greatest Notre Dame coach of all time.
Man.
He is?
You sure about that one?
100%. He's awesome. He's the man.
Whatever you say. Speaking of the man, NFL. Bills have clinched.
What does that have to do with the man?
I don't know. Josh Allen's the man.
Yeah.
It was an interesting week. We'll obviously touch on the main focal point of the week. Hard not to. A lot of interesting things, right? I mean, most fantasy leagues did end this year on week 17. A lot of good football. This was probably the best, at the very least, the best 1 o'clock window we've had Sunday wise this year. It's not like the late window was bad either. Was bad, but I don't think it was as good as the one either. Either way,
those primetime games were terrible.
Yeah, I mean the primetime games all year have been pretty rough. Again, I think this was like the second week, not the second week in a row because of Washington, but yeah, definitely the second week in a row I was off doing other things early on Sunday night and didn't bother really stopping and smelling the roses too much yesterday on Monday Night Football. So, obviously the main topic around here, right? The Bills clinch again. All comes down to, you know, where they're really going to play at this point. Unfortunately for Bills fans, not to send a shiver down your spine, one of those options is going to Foxborough potentially next week, or 2 weekends from now, I suppose is the proper term on this one. So be interesting there to see what they do. Obviously, it's an interesting year this year. I know a lot of people have now clinched. A lot of teams have clinched, but there's a lot of positioning to be played for. So this is one of the few times in my memory that I don't think you'll see too many people get rested. I mean, maybe, excuse me, if you get to a point where either you think the score, you're up far enough ahead, or you're just down far enough that you don't think you'll make a full comeback. Maybe at that point you'll see quarterbacks especially probably get shifted in and out, stuff like that. But I can't see coming up this next week where that will happen.
Just speaking of this, yeah. From another season, I got to ask you.
Sure.
What were your thoughts on the Colts that one year? They were undefeated and they rest their starters the last two games there.
That was, what, 20?
It was Curtis Painter.
So that would have been, what, like 09 or something? It was like a while ago. 9 or 10? Yeah, I mean, at the time, I thought it was a genius move. I mean, now being older and knowing in retrospect, awful move, but. I mean, that was a big thing at the time. I don't think resting people is as big of a thing as it used to be, but you still see it. I think Henny played the last Chiefs game completely, like, the past 2 years. Without, I think, Pat Mahomes really trying to get into the game at some point.
Matt Flynn did play for the Seahawks, but he got a contract because of his
six-touchdown
game in the last game of the season.
So, and obviously, you know, before, you know, I guess moving on to some of that other stuff too, the Buccaneers and Antonio Brown. I do want to have a semi-serious discussion, at least maybe to a degree on this. You know, I've said, and I said this to you on Sunday because we were pretty much watching it together. You came in after the fact. You didn't see it live. me and your brother Matt saw it live.
I've seen it plenty of times.
Yeah. You know, I've said this since the hit occurred. Antonio Brown has just not been the same since Bontez Burfict hit him over the middle. I mean, just it, dirty play. And it really does make you wonder, obviously, the football side of things, whether it is just true brain damage with CTE or just at this point, you know what, even if it's not, say, CTE or some other cloudiness of the brain of someone that we just don't know yet because it's just dudes throwing their heads at each other. Like, I've had concussions before. Like, they're not fun. There is a picture I remember looking from the one year I did play organized where, you know, I'm looking at the camera, but you can tell I'm just, like, having a 1,000-yard stare. Like, I mean, it's just in the moment, in the aftermath, and And look, especially in the case of Antonio Brown, we know of the situations with him where he the off-the-field issues. I think combined with the off-field issues, what we know on the field that's happened to him, and his noted mental health history. Look, in the moment I laughed. It was funny. We probably won't see anything like that again, ever. We have never seen anything like that ever. At the end of the day, though, this is somebody who, that is probably their cry for help. Above everything else, whether it's throwing furniture out a window or, I mean, obviously we know about his assaults on women. Look, Antonio Brown, at the end of the day, you're a bad dude no matter what at that point. But clearly it's a cry for help for him. I this is a guy who needs help. I don't think, I mean, Terry Bradshaw's fairly, in my mind, idiotic. And I shouldn't say that outright. I mean, Terry Bradshaw's a guy who got knocked upside the head, I don't know how many times, and he's probably got his own brain damage to deal with in that realm. But, you know, you don't go and tie the guy up or anything like that. That's just only going to worsen the issue, I think, with Antonio Brown. But if you're a guy, and look, if Brady is as close to him as it the way it sounds, and I would assume that they're trying to corral him to some degree to go ahead and take that first step, whether it's an inpatient or an outpatient type scenario, or I don't mean normal counseling is whatever, but going to counseling, something like that. It at the end of the day, this is a human, you know. This is, like I said, we've never seen anything like that before. Never going to see it again, more than likely. I mean, clearly a cry for help.
Yeah, I hope he gets some help, but he's probably done, though. He probably played his last down in the NFL, so. You know, that's tough to see. But, looking forward to Week 18. Should be some interesting playoff scenarios. Paul, I think I told you this one. If the Jaguars beat the Colts, and I think if they would need the Steelers lose too. They would need the Steelers to lose too, I think. If the Colts and the Steelers lose on Sunday before the Chargers-Raiders game, they could both get in with a tie. Not saying they're both going to, you know, if those two things do happen, they're just going to knee down the whole game. But if it gets to overtime,
yeah,
it's going to get interesting. We might just play for the tie. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Looking forward to it. I'm rooting for the Raiders. Been a big Chargers guy, but I am rooting for the Raiders. I kind of got a couple family members that are Raiders fans. I don't have any family members that are Chargers.
Shout out John Russo, Raiders fan as well. Yeah. Future home of Jim Harbaugh. Super home of, or sooner home of Jim Harbaugh, potentially.
You root for him?
The Raiders? Hell no. Well, wait, who are they playing exactly again here?
The Chargers, Sunday Night Football. It's the big game.
I don't know. My beloved baby Bolts. I don't know.
That's your dad's team. Come on.
And? He likes the Celtics. I hate the Celtics. That's a completely different podcast if you want to get me going about Danny Ainge.
Yeah, it's a completely different podcast. But, you know, that should be exciting. How far will the Bills go? Until they get a running back. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Until they get a running back, they're not going anywhere.
So
the Cowboys get a quarterback, they're not going anywhere either.
That was a bit sideswipe-ish, but okay. What are your thoughts quickly here before we kind of go into prediction mode and stuff like that? Thoughts on the alleged last game?
My thoughts on it? Don't like it at all.
For Ben? Don't?
Oh, Big Ben. I thought you meant the schedule.
No.
Well, first of all, I don't like the schedule.
Okay.
I liked when the whole NFL playoffs was January. It was just, everything was perfect. You play the right amount of games. You play, you don't have this weird, you have more home games now one year than the next. It was perfect the way it was. I, screw money. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I liked that it was the whole month of January. It was the playoffs, and then you had the Super Bowl in February. I just liked all that. Big Ben, you know, out of nowhere, he's just like, I'm done. I think it took him like 14 weeks to realize he can't throw the ball anymore. That's pretty crazy.
Dude's cooked.
But, yeah.
I'm just a big fan of how we celebrate a rapist in this country.
Yeah.
I had to say it. I'm sorry.
You got to respect Pittsburgh.
No, you don't.
Obviously, it's the greatest city behind New York City. But if you don't count the Bronx, get the Bronx out of there, then New York City's better than Pittsburgh.
That's like saying get the shady side out of Pittsburgh.
But, you know, Big Ben was a great player. I think he's the third best quarterback out of his own draft. But that's just my opinion. Nah, he's second best. Eli's number one. He's second. Phillip Rivers, who never won anything, should be up. He should be the question for the Hall of Fame, not Eli. But they all should be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, that class is gone. It's over. Moving on.
Good. You can bury Ben out back.
We'll see how Najee plays without him. We'll see how
10 years of sorrow for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mike Tomlin's still the best coach in the league, though.
No, stop.
He is.
I don't know.
Better than Joe Judge.
Again, another podcast probably for a whole other deal, but yeah, another fairly trash organization in my mind, the Steelers. So
Steelers?
Yeah.
They got a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah, they've also protected
and
a
rapist. They've also
They've also protected a rapist. The former owner, Art Rooney Sr., probably a racist. I mean, yeah, just a great organization.
That's personal stuff. I'm talking about on the
field. How's that personal?
That has nothing to do with football. I'm talking about on the field. The Steelers are.
It has everything to do with football. If they don't shield Ben Roethlisberger, the whole trajectory of the team is different to where we are now.
Yeah, I'm just saying what they do on the field is good, and Mike Tomlin's a good coach. He's the best.
Whatever. I can probably rattle off at least in the past decade like about 7 other coaches I'd have. Probably 10. And one of those include Tom Coughlin, who you know I'm not a big fan of anyway.
Well, he's a great coach, too.
Well, there it is. All right, let's predict Week 18. First ever Week 18 picks.
Yep.
Saturday night, we got 2 games. First at 4:30, Chiefs at the Broncos. The Fighting Drew Locks.
I'm going to say the Chiefs are a lock here.
I'm with you. oh, man, the poor Broncos. and then Saturday night, 8:15, Cowboys at the Eagles.
Going Eagles.
I'm going Cowboys.
Never picking the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Saturday, 1 o'clock, the early window kicks off with Washington. Last team is the football team and the Giants.
I'm going Washington because we all remember that one game where they got Chase Young of this game at the end of the season. Going Washington again.
No, you're thinking of just last year when we didn't get Chase Young.
No, I remember last year the stupid Eagles not trying in that
Sunday
night.
That game.
To get Chase Young.
Oh, the game where both teams were trying so hard to lose that they both actually looked like competent offenses.
Last year was bogus.
Oh,
the Eagles not trying.
Nick, I stashed that game in the far depths of my mind not to remember. Josh Johnson, I love that man.
Well, in this game I got the Washington. They deserve it. There's a lot of snow going their
way
right
now. I'm
going
Washington as well, but not for deserving. Just anytime I feel like you start Mike Glennon, I feel like it's just an automatic lock on the other team. Bengals at the Browns. Bengals are just pretty much, they're like one of the few teams I think they're just kind of more or less locked into place of where they could be. So
I'm going Browns. Bengals ain't trying.
Case Keenum. All right.
They ain't trying.
I'm going to go Bengals. I'm going Bengals, but this is another an issue where we record on Tuesday and have the live feed on Tuesday. I mean, all indications show Burrow will be playing at the moment. If he doesn't, yeah, I mean, I'd rather take Case Keenum at that point. But given that it is Tuesday, I have to lock in with the Bengals. Packers at the Lions. Again, another team that's pretty much locked into place
with
the Packers. Well, Rodgers is going to play. He's not. He's been one of the guys who usually does not like sitting down and resting for an extra week, especially with them, you know, pretty much in place for the bye. So as much as it pains me to not take my fighting Dan Campbell's, I have to take the Packers here.
Why, Paul?
I literally just said why. I'm not going
this
back.
This is going to be the biggest win in Lions history. Because
all right,
this win
sure
is going to be the start
okay
of a Dan Campbell Coach of the Year franchise. Next year, the Lions are going to make the playoffs.
So if Tim Blow or whatever his name is the starting quarterback, you're that confident in the Lions?
The Lions will make the divisional round next year.
Okay.
Then the next year,
I don't disagree with
they
you,
will lose in the like, NFC in Championship sense. Game. Then the following year, they will win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
This is a turning point game. That's why you should have picked the Lions, Paul. The state franchise turning point game
Steelers at the Ravens.
Going Ravens.
I'm going Ravens as well.
I like that Huntley kid.
He's earning himself a contract somewhere next year. I don't know where, but he's earned it.
Lions.
They're not playing in the Pittsburgh Baltimore game.
Lions. He's going to the Lions.
Oh, look at the cute picture of the Bulldogs on the TV. All right.
He's going to go to the Lions.
Sorry, I got distracted by puppies.
It's all right. Just got to watch this back and learn that I was right.
Yeah. Bears at the Vikings.
Vikings.
Skull. I'm going Skull as well.
You don't want to do it?
No. Colts at the Jaguars.
Going Colts. As much as I want to see the Jaguars win. But
I'm on Colts as well. Not that I think the Jaguars won't win, but they aren't going to win.
I mean, they are winless since Urban Meyer left.
Did you know that Trevor Lawrence threw his first touchdown pass in 2 months last week?
Yeah, I was there on Red Zone when we watched it.
I just wanted to be sure. I mean, Scott only told us about 5 times. By the way, rough week for Scott. He didn't think Ricky Seals-Jones or the cameraman were hurt on that replay when clearly they were both were. Scott, you gotta pick up the slack, man.
It's season finale next week.
We're going up having to demand Siciliano come over to the cable side as well.
Yeah.
All right, the last of the 1 o'clock window, Titans at the Texans.
Going Texans.
What?
They're playing well. Titans are playing for something. But I'm going to go Texans. I don't see the Titans number one seed, so I'm going Texans.
I'm going Titans.
Upset.
Okay. Speaking of upsets, Saints at the Falcons open our late window. Every cookout in the late window is 4:25.
Going Falcons.
Yeah, so this is a tough one, admittedly. But, yeah, push them to shove here. I'm taking the Falcons. Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, playing with enough gusto in them right now. A little bit of that machismo, a little bit of that, you know, my own action, as I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Jets at the Bills.
Going Bills. Not happy about it, but
That's all you get out of me. I'm going Bills. Seahawks at the Cardinals.
Going Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm going Cardinals, too. What an exclamation point on the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll era in Seattle. Panthers and the Buccaneers.
Panthers at the Buccaneers?
Yep.
I'm going Buccaneers.
Yeah, Buccaneers. Patriots at the Dolphins.
Going Patriots.
I'm going Patriots as well. I mean, they are playing for a bye week.
Yeah.
Last of the 4:25s, the late window where we say goodbye to Scott Hansen for the year, San Fran and the LA Rams.
Going Rams. They're going to the Super Bowl if the Packers don't go.
This is, I think, going to be my de facto upset of the week. I'm going 49ers. Again, the Rams have been a hard shell to crack of a team this year. You don't know what version of them you're going to get from week to week. Look, I'm not one of the people. I'm not one of the people who think, oh, this is Matt Stafford's. This is Matt Stafford. No, Matt Stafford is better than what he was on the Lions. That being said, I think the Odell situation has played to his disadvantage here since coming over. They tend to be not forcing the ball to him, but clearly some design stuff going to him, and in some situations not going as well as they had hoped. Sunday night football, last Sunday night, true Sunday night game of the year, we'll call it. Chargers at the Raiders. The
Raiders are winning this game. They're getting the playoffs as much as I want to see a tie.
I'm on the baby Bolts. Go in the baby Bolts. So that's the NFL. Week 18 coming on deck. Nick, not a fan of it. Whatever.
I'm not.
Something, again, Nick probably isn't a fan of. Bama and Uga facing off in the College Football Playoff Championship. Live from Indianapolis. Every college kid's dream. That's a very old joke for old souls like me who don't know about, who know about Nap City. Anyway. Those games, the semifinals on New Year's Eve, were definitely not as great as we had hoped, admittedly. I apologize to everybody who I told hammer Michigan all day. I was loud wrong. Not afraid to admit it. That being said, I still don't trust Georgia at all. I know what the books are doing. Can't believe that Georgia is the favorite, but
I can't believe it.
Well, the books are doing it on purpose. They're trying to lure you in to take Georgia. Is what's
going
on right
now. How does
that
lure to take me in
Georgia? I'm just saying what they're trying to do.
That is Alabama. How fast can I get there?
And you know. There's a reason why that Michigan line stayed at pretty much 7.5 that whole way, that half point. It's a mind trap.
I don't get that at all.
It's a mind trap. So, obviously, Cincinnati, they de facto kept it a close game. But compared to the other game, but yeah, Cincinnati just got kind of caught in the matchup. I think if they had played Michigan or Georgia, I honestly do think it would have been a bit of a closer game, as me and another friend were talking about, and this is true. I mean, would you have rather have, you know, would Cincinnati still only losing by 14 have made it any better of a game? No, maybe not, but it would have played out better, I think, at that point. You know, Cincinnati's defense, and look, Cincinnati's defense did keep them in the game overall. I mean, it that's just the way it is, but you know, hard to keep the defense fresh when offense or just can't get anything going. And then, I mean, Georgia, I can't believe what they're doing with Stetson Bennett. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a backup. I think the shoe's going to fall Monday night. Either way, you know, is what it is. At the moment, it still is 2.5-point favorite, Georgia. They're -2.5. I believe the money line is like something like -140 for Georgia. Alabama's +120. Can't remember what the over-under is on the game. I'd have to check that quick, but if I had to ballpark it, I'm going to probably put it 57, 58, somewhere in that range. So, yeah. So what we got for Monday, 8 o'clock with that. Nick, big college football guy. Over there, yeah, leading expert.
I'm a big college football playoff guy.
Oh, now you're coming around.
I don't give two
Wheezy
shoots about those other bowls. yeah, all those bowls can get postponed, canceled. It won't break my heart. But did like Notre Dame. Still can't win the BCS Bowl, but I do like Marcus Freeman, new coach. Did actually watch that game, and yeah. Wish it meant something, but yeah, the bowl games though.
Not to interrupt, 52.5 the over/under for the championship game. Interesting.
Yeah, probably won't bet the over/under on that. But
life's too short to take the under.
Hammering, moving the Alabama line to like -7. Hammering that, they're gonna kill them. They're gonna beat them pretty good. Yeah. They're going to beat them. Alabama always beats Georgia, and they'll beat them again pretty good. pretty handily, I think, this time. They know how to play him. He'll come up with a game plan. Does have all the best talent. Yeah, not surprising they both got beat. The Big Ten sucks, and whatever conference that's not the SEC really doesn't stand a chance against the SEC. So not surprised about the blowouts. Georgia doesn't beat Alabama, though. So the only team that can beat Alabama is Texas A&M, LSU, and Auburn. Not Georgia. So Alabama is going to win another national title. As an Alabama fan, I'm not an Alabama fan, but as if I was an Alabama fan, I don't know how you, you know, figure out the differences between all your title teams, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to Alabama here. I don't, you know, to quote one of my favorite guys, Stu Gatz, don't do this, I care about you type scenario with, you know, look, at the end of the day, like I said, I mean, Bennett, you know, they're going to have to play JT Daniels, I think, in this game at some point.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game. I think it's going to be 31-23.
Okay, so you are going to take the over.
That would be the over, yeah. Sure. I think it'd be about 31-23. Alabama will pull away a little bit. But I would move it. I would say move it to Alabama -7 and hammer it. Actually, check that. -6.5. Hammer that.
All right.
Hammer Alabama -6.5. You're going to get a lot of money out of that. So,
wow. Look at you go.
I'm here to help you.
All right. Fair enough.
Back to Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know if I'd go to that extreme with Nick. Maybe I'll just throw $20 on it to say I did. But, yeah, Bama all day. The over-under is an interesting spot. I would imagine it'd be a little bit higher, admittedly, but I don't know. That's a tough one now that I'm actually kind of thinking about it a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if this game kind of set, you know, somewhere kind of low scoring for the most part, like a 21-14-ish type scenario. Maybe, you know, 21-17. I don't know if I'd touch the over-under. I could see it going both ways, but I would definitely take Alabama.
You're taking Alabama money line.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not taking the plus points. You're taking the money line.
If I can get plus points, I'm not going to shy away from it, though. I mean, that's kind of been my motif lately, too.
I know. Yeah, you're taking money line. You
know. I mean, I do have it as a future bet, you know, so it's a little bit different. All right.
Should be a good one.
Yeah. NHL, Nick. Been a while. They're officially back from the holiday break and extended COVID break.
How about them Rangers?
Wow. They've been quite the interesting team. We'll touch on that, though, in a minute. Omicron and COVID kind of wreaking havoc there. Ended up being extended break. Month of December was fairly wild in the NHL. Excuse me, especially with some travel sanctions going on. Players not going to be allowed to go to the Olympics. The IIHF tournament got postponed, really canceled, I guess is the proper term. But yeah, so the NHL, we started off, excuse me, the year with teams, you know, I don't mean to knock the Sabres, but they started off extremely good. Unfortunately with them, they are a very good scenario of injuries, lack of experience, and especially lately with them, the Omicron variant kind of wreaking havoc on the team. You know, I'll use them as the example here, but really that first month you had a lot of teams in different spots. You know, like for instance, the Lightning did not get off to a good start. The teams that you kind of expected to really be up there weren't, and to the degree the ones that you expect to be low were up. Now it's flip-flop. Now you kind of had the normalcy kind of back in the NHL to a degree. Except maybe your New York Rangers, Nick. They are the one that I kind of thought, you know, I mentioned them as being more than likely a fringe-like team throughout the year. I figured when push came to shove, they probably wouldn't make the playoffs. But that being said, they have 48 points total. That actually ranks them second in the NHL.
Behind the Capitals, right?
Behind the Lightning. Lightning have 49. Rangers and Washington both have 48. So anyway, going back to the main stuff here at that point, the Rangers have actually kind of done it in a very quiet way overall. Something that we probably don't really say obviously normally with a New York market team. I think a lot of the focus this year admittedly was on the Islanders, and they have not played well at all.
Buffalo started off good.
Yeah, Buffalo, I mentioned, did start off really well, and then kind of like how at least I predicted that being the year, I figured that experience would, or lack thereof, would kind of come in at some point. But that being said, I mean, Buffalo does have a very good young squad. They've got Tuck in from Vegas through the Eichel deal and stuff like that, and unfortunately, he's on the COVID list right now, but he has made an impact so far. And you know, Buffalo, like I said, Buffalo has a good core group going right now. Both kind of obviously at the Sabres itself right now, and what I'm gonna call go back to de facto we call in the taxi squad with Rochester. I think actually the NHL does have taxi squads again, but Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, my favorite goalie name of all time, he's had some cups of coffee so far at the NHL level. Shown brilliance, shown that he does probably need a couple more, you know, goes in Rochester. But look, I mean, if you're a Sabres fan, you got to be excited. You've seen brilliance, even though, you know, maybe the season's not going to turn out kind of like you hoped it would after that first month of the year. But a lot of positives still, though, in my mind. To take away. Anyway, like I said, now you just have the teams like, you know, like we normally have kind of going to the top and kind of doing their thing, right? I mean, Montreal started off really good. They're now sitting at the bottom of the Atlantic. The surprise team, obviously, was probably the Islanders more than anything. Took them the better part of a month to win back in Nassau County. To get their first win there. And then out west, it's kind of been status quo-ish. I think I didn't expect Seattle to be at the bottom of the Pacific, not to be whatever about it. I figured, you know, obviously with the way the teams probably saw Vegas really exploit the draft, that they wouldn't, you know, let some of the people go that they did, and, you know, that was the case. But I think I expected Seattle to be a little bit better than they have been. But, hey, like expansion team, especially in a year like this, I mean, it's tough. It's just tough.
That's one of my three takeaways from the season.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, before I toss it to you quick, it's been an interesting year. St. Louis, like I said, I mean, the teams we expect to kind of get to the top have been at the top now. St. Louis, Vegas, you know, Carolina Capitals, Tampa Bay, Florida, big shout out though to Minnesota. I did not think they'd be as good as they were. They unloaded people. They're sitting third right now in the Central Division. They'd be an interesting team probably to take a gander at bet wise still. Futures bet for division win. Other than that, you know, I tip the hat to Calgary quickly. You know, they're showing their chops. They're behind Anaheim right now. Another team that, hey, hats off to them. Doing extremely well out there. Edmonton's fallen off since their goalie Smith got hurt. Now COVID's kind of garage in their locker room. McDavid's on the list. So lots of stuff interesting going on in the NHL at the moment. Yeah, three takeaways you had, so go ahead.
Yeah, three takeaways from the NHL season so far. Yeah. I have to say it's disappointment of the Seattle Kraken. Everyone thought, not everyone, but I was one of people that thought they might be like Vegas and come on the scene early. You know, it's been a struggle for old Philip Gruber and the Kraken. My second takeaway, cool Winter Classic again. That was a good Winter Classic. Good to see Pittsburgh Pirate legend Justin Morneau throwing out one of the first pucks. Justin Morneau finished with zero career home runs with the Pirates, but was part of that 2013 divisional team in the playoffs. So respect to Justin Morneau. And then my last takeaway has to be the Olympics not going, and now they got this 3 weeks off. in a time where you thought there'd be no NHL games. Now it's going to be a bunch of makeup games, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be cool to watch. And I'd watch out for the Rangers, Paul. I'd watch out for them.
No, you got to right now.
They're loaded.
You got to.
Loaded with talent. So they're better than the Islanders, and the Knicks are better than the Nets.
Definitely. Look, I mean, the Rangers have had the talent. It's just been a matter of kind of getting everybody kind of cohesively together to a degree. You got to give them credit. You just got to. I mean, they're in a spot that, look, I don't think even you thought they'd be in this year.
The Rangers and Knicks run New York.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves because we are moving to the NBA to wrap up the show.
That's the transition. That's the transition.
That is a transition. I thought I alley-oop. The Knicks have fallen off since the start of the year, for as good as they started. Not all is lost. You're still well within the playoff window. In fact, you're technically the first team out right now. This is the way they do the play-in now and everything like that. So, boy, the NBA, again, a lot of they're still in the leagues going on, the 10-day player contracts with the variant, Omicron variant going around. And, you know, Nick, I'm going to go two-shot on this one for the moment.
Okay.
If I were to tell you the four teams in the West that are in the play-in tournament right now, can you name the four teams?
I'm going to go for it.
All right. Well, that was the purpose of this.
I know one is the Timberwolves.
You are right. The Timberwolves are number 9.
Number 10. Have they sneaked in? Is it the Sacramento Kings?
It is the Sacramento Kings. Okay, I just need to check. Your phone is dark.
It is dark.
It is dark.
I'm going to go number 7 is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, so close. They're the number 8 seed.
They're number 8, so they're in it.
They're in.
And number 7 is it the Dallas Mavericks?
It is not. The Mavericks are the 6th seed.
Oh, it's the Clippers?
It is the Clippers. Nick, look at Nick go. Anyway, yeah, just like we all planned on the Western Conference being.
Oh, who you got coming out of that? Lakers, Clippers, Kings, or Timberwolves? Teams you got coming out?
I mean, anything could happen in the playoff.
Well, what's crazy about that format is it's not like, you know, Clippers play the Kings and then the Lakers play the Timberwolves.
Right.
No, the Lakers and Clippers play each other, and then those two teams play each other, and then it's a do or die for the winner and the loser there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, look at last year. I mean, the way the Grizzlies played. I mean, and look, I mean, look at the Grizzlies this year. They're the 4th seed in the West.
They're good.
I mean, they're good. The West is, look, I mean, really, to be fair, the East is loaded, too. It's getting swept on because
the West is pretty bad at the bottom.
Yeah. The East is more, I'd say, even overall. The West, yeah, like you said, the West is pretty top-heavy. I mean, Golden State, and they're getting Clay back, but they're one. And then obviously the teams that we kind of expect to be up there with, the Suns and the Jazz.
West is tough at the top, though.
Then the Grizzlies are kind of like that first team. We're like, oh, where'd they come from?
But Denver's there. Dallas is there. You know what they remind me of? Grizzlies remind me of one of those teams again. Great team. It's going to be tough to get out of the West, though.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be tough. Like, they're a great team. They could run the East. But it's going to be tough to get out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the Nets here, Durant and them, feels like it was LeBron back in the day, running through the East. Like it's a great thing. It's so easy.
Well, I mean, the East is going to be tough. I mean,
and you got the Bulls who are like the Pacers back in the day.
Well, you have to look. So, like, I don't mean to play the homer card, but look at the Heat, what they've been able to do, especially with their COVID issues. They're still, I mean, they're at the 4th seed, and they've been able to maintain pretty well.
Look at the Heat.
Yeah. 23-15.
Solid.
Pretty good. And we got Kyle Guy running around out here right now.
You know, Jordan.
We got Turk 7.
Yeah, you Haslam.
I mean, Haslam. Haslam has been getting minutes. Like, it's just wild right now with that team.
Got the best coach.
We do. Spo got the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month.
What would your brother, who's a Nets fan, would he say if you said Spo's better than Steve Nash? Would he get offended?
I mean, I probably not.
Like, why would he get offended?
I don't know if Pat's the biggest Steve Nash fan. I've heard him kind of yell at him.
He's a Jason Kidd guy, I know.
Wow. We'll see, because me and him are going to the Heat Nets game.
Breaking news?
March. I thought I told you.
On the pod, though?
Well, that's a good point. Not on the pod.
Well, not for me. It's for the viewers.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I will see my beloved Heat in person for the second time. Both on the road, though. So, when they take on the Nets in Brooklyn, March 3rd. Excited.
Yeah, so have fun.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah, I mean.
And then right back for sectional final action at Blue Cross Arena. Right here on FigureLeaks1.com.
Very, very cool. Nice plug.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to judge the NBA because so many teams make the play-in now.
Right.
And the playoffs. So it's like, what are we saying? Oh, I think the Rockets are done. Mm-hmm. Which they're not, though.
I think it's safe to write off the Rockets.
They're in that West, though, and it's pretty weak at the bottom. You never know.
I think it's safe to write off, like, them and the Pels, even
Does
though they're
Zion
in
come
it.
Back?
No.
Ever.
No, I mean, he'll be back, but he ain't coming back.
Greg Oden
this
ever
year.
Come back, though?
Greg Oden's retired.
Did he? Yeah, exactly.
Greg Oden, I think it's like a GA with Ohio State.
Okay, good for him. Yeah, I mean, I
think it's safe to write off Detroit and Orlando.
Are you shocked by the Lakers struggling?
No. Well, yeah, yes and no. We said on the podcast preview. I mean, they were going to be bad this year. Compared to last year, I didn't think this bad. Admittedly, still. But I chuckled at the Christmas game. Like, oh, now the stuff I've been saying about Westbrook for the better part of at least 5 years now is something that people are finally realizing. And it took Stan Van Gundy, an actual coach, to actually say it out loud for people to be like, you know, he's actually got a point. Like, yeah, he does. I mean, he got a triple-double on a very lackluster Oklahoma City team. He'll have his stats. And look, I'm not one to now just go in best. Stats are meaningful, but look, a lot of his stats are just empty calories. I mean, they just are. He can't shoot well. I think a lot of this stuff that Lagley is finally starting to just go because he's been just beating himself up. And then, I mean, other stuff too. I mean, Anthony Davis, again, look, he's not a bust in that essence, but in the traditional sense, but for what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm surprised more people like an Embiid, who, you know, I could take or leave for the most part in terms of whatever. But I'm surprised a guy like Embiid, who doesn't mind doing it, and maybe he has, it's just a quieter deal with it, doesn't go up to him and just, you know, trash talking about how he's a wimp for not playing center and stuff like that. You'll laugh at this, but I'd rather take a guy like Porzingis at this point. At least Porzingis is not afraid to go in the paint.
Anthony Davis did not live up to his
expectations. And obviously, you know, LeBron, age is finally really catching up with him. And look, I was the biggest Caruso hater on here probably. And look, the fact that they didn't sign Caruso back in order to please LeBron and extend Horton Tucker out for I don't know what reason. I mean, he's pretty much the Diet Coke version of Caruso. I mean, I don't know. If I'm the Lakers, I would offer Westbrook away.
Kuzma was a nice young player.
Yeah, another player where, you know, it's definitely not going to pan out the way everybody kind of thought he might have. But look, Kuz could shoot at the very least. At the very least, he wasn't afraid to. I mean, Westbrook had a shot the other night that literally just went over the backboard. I don't know where it was going, but
he's always
dissecting that thing was heading for section 55. You know, I don't know. You know, and this isn't directly on the Lakers, but the Warriors are going to get Klay back sooner than later, and they're firing on all cylinders. They just are. The Suns are still firing on all cylinders, and they're minus people because of COVID. The Jazz are tough. The Grizzlies have been a nice surprise, and they're not going to go away. That's pretty apparent. The Nuggets, another team who they're there. They're not firing all cylinders because they have people out, but they're not going to go away. And then Dallas, who mind you is a sixth seed, so obviously all those teams are probably going to go in and out at various points throughout the rest of the year. But Dallas, when they're on, I don't want to face either. I mean, that's just the way it is. I would probably admittedly expect the Clippers to fall out. They're not going to get Paul George back the way it sounds. Kawhi probably isn't playing this year at this point. Like, that's gone pretty quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, Ty Lue's done a really good job with that team, so I'm not too sure what's going to happen kind of there. At that point, I mean, that becomes an unholy mess at the bottom. Like, I don't know what's going on with the Blazers. I think there's going to be a blow up there. The Spurs are a really deceptive sub 500 team. They've shown moments of really great basketball and other moments where they don't have a prayer like to
Becky
the world.
Becky Hammond's gone.
Yeah, so the West is going to be a jumbled mess. I think the East is going to be a jumbled mess, but I think it's going to probably shift itself out fairly quick as we get through January. I don't think the Pacers are sounding like they're going to lean towards a blow up at the deadline. The Hawks are struggling. I don't know what's going on there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they move pieces at the deadline either. And at that point, you know, it's pretty much the Knicks who they're probably, I would imagine, going to buy at the deadline with the Celtics. The Raptors are an interesting team. They're at 500, so they probably will keep either status quo slash buy as opposed to sell. Again, kind of same deal with Charlotte, although they're building, so they wouldn't sell. The Wizards have been a bit of a surprise, as have been the Cavs.
They're winning that Westbrook trade?
Yeah, they are. The Wizards are. There's probably, I'm going to call from, at the moment, the Sixers at the 5 seed down to the Knicks at 11. That's going to shift a lot, but as opposed to the West, you can write off teams already for the most part, even the ones that are right there at the cusp, only because the trajectory of the conference dictates that, in my opinion.
Yep.
That's it for you? Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you said it right.
Thank you.
You went through every team.
All right. Well, that will wrap up then the show for the day. Quick things. All right, Nick, you ready? We have three more games this week at FL1 that we're covering. Live. Three. Ted Baker and Jim Senecropi tomorrow night are at Palmac for the Palmac Girls. They're hosting Miners Academy in an big FL East battle on the girls' side. It will be live on FL1 radio, but really cool. We're working with Palmac. We will be having our audio fed through their video feed on their YouTube channel. So we'll have that linked in our own articles and on our website. But if you don't go through there, go on YouTube, search Palmac Athletics. You'll be able to find it there. So really cool stuff that we're doing with them. Ted Baker and Jim Senecropi on that call tomorrow night, 7:30. Thursday night, 7:30. Gananda at Lions Boys in Wayne County East, or Wayne County in general, not Wayne County East. Got ahead of myself. Both undefeated in the Wayne County, tied atop the standings in Wayne County. So it should be a pretty good game. Lions, obviously, we saw tonight against Palmac come away with a victory there on FL1. Me, myself, and Kyle French will be on the call for that one. Kyle French doing play-by-play. I'll be doing color commentary for the first time. I'm pretty excited about that. Friday night, 6 p.m., Dundee Bradford at Romulus Boys in the Finger Lakes West. Looking forward to that. Me and you, Nick, back together again on that call. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Usually, Romulus having a really great year so far. Dundee Bradford having a great year. So really looking forward to that one. Not often that in the West that we're able to kind of do those types of games. And we're looking forward to that one.
Yeah, should be a good one.
I don't think I've been in Romulus's gym since high school, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Should be a good one.
Yeah. So that's all that, and we'll all have that stuff posted on FingerLakes1.com and FL1 Radio, our Mixler page, and all that fun stuff. Nick, who are you shouting out this week?
I got three shout-outs.
All right.
Shouting out my – I run three fantasy football leagues. Jerry won fantasy football league that I run. Shout out to Kurt Ireland on winning this year. My Cuca College Davis Hall league. Shout out to Rob LaRue on winning this year. And then my Cuca College Space Hall league. Mm. Shout out to Andrew Matarko on winning this year. Congrats, Andrew, Rob, and Kurt on winning my fantasy leagues. And I do not win.
All right.
And I played in all of them. No, seriously, shout out all three. Good job. Congrats.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will catch you here next week. Stay tuned for, obviously, all of our coverage on Wayne Finger Lakes basketball. Looking forward to that. May have some stuff in the pipeline, too, for next week that I'm working on. So, you never know. Until then, we'll catch you guys later. See ya.